You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
Welcome everyone to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast number 10. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible so they will be able to know what they believe and why they believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. That's Ephesians 4:11 through 12. Our ministry podcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to the return of Christ in the book of Revelation. We upload blogs each week that accompany our podcast to help you study the Word of God so you will know what you believe and why you believe it. You can access all of our podcasts and the accompanying blogs on our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Genesis is the book of beginnings. It records the beginning of time. It records the beginning of life. It records the beginning of sin, and it records the beginning of salvation. Almost all of the foundational biblical doctrines are revealed in Genesis and are further developed in other books in our Holy Bible. As a result, our foundational biblical teaching ministry lessons will begin in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, the role of Jesus Christ in creation. The pre-existent Jesus Christ in creation. Go with me, please, to Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." This passage of Scripture is saying that the Holy Spirit was present with God the Father and was an active participant and co-laborer with God the Father when the heavens and the earth were created. Although this passage of Scripture does not mention Jesus Christ being present in the beginning when the heavens and the earth were created, there are numerous passages of Scripture that clearly place him there in the beginning. Let's look at a few. Go with me, please, to John 1, verses 1 and 3, and then down to John 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Colossians 1. Go with me, please, to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. "Jesus, who is the invisible God, the one who was first over all creation, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he existed before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Go with me, please, to John 17:5, and then John 17:5-24. "Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I shared with you before the world was created. Father, I want those you gave to be with me where I am. Then they can see my glory, which you gave me because you loved me before the creation of the world." Let me give you one more scripture about the pre-existent Jesus Christ in creation. Go with me, please, to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, 1 through 2, and then we're going to drop down to Hebrews 1, 10. "In the past, God spoke through the prophets to our ancestors in many ways and in many times. In these final days, though, he spoke to us through a son. God made a son the heir of everything and created the world through him. But he says to his son, God, your throne is forever, and your kingdom's scepter is a rod of justice. You love righteousness and hated lawless behavior. That is why God, your God, has anointed you with oil instead of your companions. And he says, you, Lord, laid the earth's foundations in the beginning, and the heavens were made by your hands. So what am I saying? When you take into consideration the above passages of Scripture, it becomes abundantly clear that Jesus Christ is eternal, has always existed, and was present and was a co-laborer in the beginning with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit when the heavens and the earth were created. It is also abundantly clear that all things were made by Jesus Christ, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is a pre-existent, eternal God that is the co-creator with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit of the heavens and the earth in the beginning. Jesus Christ possesses all of the divine attributes of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit are the eternal, pre-existent, all-powerful, ever-present co-creators of the heavens and the earth in the beginning. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ are eternal and have always existed. All three were present and participated in the creation of the world and in the creation of time. All three exist inside as well as outside of time. All three are everywhere at all times. All three are not constrained by time, and all three are a present help in a time of trouble. Jesus Christ, like God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, is infinite and eternal. Jesus Christ, like God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, was, is, and will always be. A good way to describe the unique nature of Jesus Christ, like God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, is to think of Jesus Christ as the uncaused first cause, the uncaused first cause. Jesus Christ has always existed, and all things that are created were created by him. No one created Jesus Christ. Logically speaking, if someone created Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ would not be God. He would be a created being, and the person that created Jesus Christ would actually be God. But if that were the case, using the same logic, the person who created Jesus Christ would not be God, since someone else would have created him. So you see where that line of thinking would take us, to a logical dead end. Therefore, the only logical explanation for the existence of Jesus Christ is that he, like God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, is the uncaused first cause. Everything begins and ends with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, like God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, created the world from nothing. Theologians describe this concept or doctrine as ex nihilo. That's E-X-N-I-H-I-L-O, or the creation of something out of nothing. Everything that is created is in existence because Jesus Christ made it. If the heavens and the earth were already in existence in the beginning, then Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit could not have been the creators. And if they were not the creators of the world because the world was already created, then neither Jesus Christ, nor God the Father, nor God the Holy Spirit could be God. However, that is not the case. Go with me to John 1:1-3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ was present in the beginning when the heavens and the earth were created. Jesus Christ possesses all of the divine attributes of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. I have news for you. Jesus Christ is God. Not only is Jesus Christ God, Jesus Christ is the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life. Go with me, please, to John 11:25-26. John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She replied, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, the one who is coming into the world. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. These scriptures are saying that in addition to being God and the creator of the world and all things, Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the truth. And Jesus Christ is the life. The only way for a person to receive salvation is to believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, Jesus Christ was also a prophet, a priest, and a king. Let me give you three scriptures to back that up. Jesus Christ being a prophet. Let's go with that one first. Matthew 13:57. They were repulsed by him and fell into sin. But Jesus said to them, prophets are honored everywhere except in their own hometowns and in their own household. Jesus says that he is a prophet and that he was not accepted in his own hometown. He was also a priest. Go with me to Hebrews 7:17. Hebrews 7:17 says, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus Christ was a prophet and Jesus Christ was a priest. So let's look at a scripture that talks about Jesus Christ being a king. Go with me to Matthew 2:2. They asked, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen the star in the east and we've come to honor him. So in addition to being a prophet and a priest, Jesus Christ is also a king. And in fact, if you look at Revelation 19:16, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is a prophet. Jesus Christ is a priest. And Jesus Christ is a king. And Jesus Christ is God. The Old Testament writers prophesied that the Messiah and Savior of the world would be a man that was also God. Let me say that one more time. The Old Testament writers prophesied that the Messiah and Savior of the world would be a man that was also God. Old Testament writers often mentioned that God would appear as a man to become the Messiah and Savior of the world to reconcile humanity back to God. Jesus Christ was both God and man at the same time. This theological doctrine is referred to as the hypostatic union. Let me spell that for you. Hypostatic union. H-Y-P-O-S-T-A-T-I-C. Union, U-N-I-O-N. It is actually impossible for our finite minds to fully comprehend and explain how an infinite God works. However, while we can't fully comprehend this reality, we can fully apprehend this doctrine through a close reading of the scriptures. Let's take a look at several scriptures that make this God-man prophecy. The first one was found in Genesis 3. Genesis 3:14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the servant, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly will thy crawl. And dust will you eat all the days of your life. And I will put contempt between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. They will strike your head, but you will strike their heels. So what are we saying? This promise made by God is in symbolic language. However, it is clear that there will be a permanent conflict between Satan and humans, and that Satan will be defeated by a human being that is the offspring of a woman. This human being, which is the offspring of a woman, would have to be God and possess deity to defeat Satan, a created spiritual being. The prophet Isaiah gives further evidence of a child born of a woman that will be God and will have an everlasting kingdom. Go with me, please, to Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Go with me now to Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the seed of a woman that has defeated the works of Satan. He was fully man and fully God. Here's another God-man prophecy. Go with me to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. This scripture is referring to a child that would come from Abraham's descendants that will be a blessing to all families on the earth. This scripture is prophesying of a human that would be God. Let me give you a few more. Go with me to Galatians 3, Galatians 3:16. The promises were made to Abraham and to his descendant. It does not say to his descendants, as if many. It says, and to your descendant, who is Christ. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear that Jesus Christ was a confirmation and the fulfillment of the prophecy made in Genesis 12, 2 and 3, that a descendant of Abraham would be a blessing for the entire world, a man that is also God. Let me give you one more. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, thou though be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of ye shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been of old from everlasting. So what am I saying? Now we have an additional piece of information that adds to the Genesis 3, 14, 15 prophecy. This promised man that would also be God will be born from a virgin woman that would defeat the works of Satan, that will come through the genealogical line from Abraham through the tribe of Judah and would be born in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ became a human being in order to identify with us in our struggles, that's Hebrews 2:17, by the way, and more importantly, so that he could die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, that's Philippians 2:5-11. The scriptures clearly state that Jesus Christ is both fully human and fully divine, and that there is no mixture or dilution of either nature, and that he is one united person forever. Once again, as finite humans, we cannot fully comprehend how this happens in Scripture, but we can most certainly fully apprehend this or take hold to this truth as it is revealed to us in the Holy Bible. As the Christian hymn once stated, we will understand it better by and by. Jesus Christ was not only present and participated in the creation of the heavens and the earth, Jesus Christ also appeared many times in the Old Testament. These appearances are called Christophanies. Let me spell that for you. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-A-N-I-E-S. Christophanies, or appearances of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is eternal and has always existed. As such, Jesus Christ appeared to Abraham and other persons in the Old Testament. Appearances of the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ in the Old Testament are called Christophanies. Let's look at one specific instance. Go with me to Genesis, Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abram and said, blessed be Abram by the Most High God, creator of heaven and earth, and praised be to the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. A tenth of everything, by the way, is a tithe. Hebrews 7, 1 through 3. Go with me there. Hebrews 7, 1 through 3 says, for this Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of the Most High God. He met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. The name Melchizedek means king of righteousness and king of Salem, which is king of peace. Melchizedek is without father or mother, without a genealogy, without a beginning of days or an end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. So what am I saying? I'm saying that these passages are saying that Melchizedek was priest for El Elyon, which is Hebrew for the Most High God. Melchizedek is the priest of the Most High God, and Abraham tithe to Melchizedek. Now, only two people could possibly be God's priest. Think about that for a minute. It's only two people who could possibly be God's priest. Those two people are Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Let's think a little bit more about that. The Holy Spirit cannot be seen. So Abraham could not have seen the Holy Spirit. Abraham saw Melchizedek, God's priest, and not only did he see him, he ate bread with him, drank wine with him, and then tithed to him. So who is this person that he tithed to? Go with me, please, to John 8, 56 through 58. This may give you a clue. John 8, 56 to 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. This is Jesus Christ talking. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, he was happy. Then the Jews said to Jesus, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say that you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So what am I saying? Jesus Christ, in his own testimony, has said that Abraham saw him and was glad. Therefore, Jesus Christ has appeared in the Old Testament. This is an example of a Christophany. There are other appearances of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. We will dedicate an entire upcoming blog and podcast to Christophanies, or appearances of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Stay tuned. B.C. and A.D., the branding of the world by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was present in the beginning when the heavens and the earth were created. Jesus Christ, along with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, are the co-creators of time. Jesus Christ, through his life, crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, and reappearance and ascension, proved that he is God. Our world history dating system revolves around one person and only one person, Jesus Christ, the co-creator of the world. All time in world history before the birth of Jesus Christ is called BC, or before Christ. By the way, it's not called BM or before Muhammad. It's not called BB or before Buddha. It's called BC, before Christ. All time in world history since the birth of Jesus Christ is called AD. AD is taken from the original Latin phrase, Anno Domini Nostro Jesu Christi. Let me spell that for you. A-N-N-O, capital D-O-M-I-N-I, N-O-S-T-R-I-L, capital J-E-S-U, capital C-H-R-I-S-T-I. AD is taken from the original Latin phrase, Anno Domini Nostro Jesu Christu, which translates to in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. The calendar era we are in is based on the traditionally recognized year of the birth of Jesus Christ, or AD. We are currently living in AD 2018, or 2018 years since the birth of Jesus Christ. Not Muhammad, not since the birth of Buddha. The life, ministry, crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, reappearance, and ascension of Jesus Christ is so unique that everything that has happened, is happening, or will happen in history is marked by and measured by one person, Jesus Christ, and his life on earth. Jesus Christ literally split world history into BC and AD. Just think about that. Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, has put his brand on every date past. His brand is on every date present. His brand is on every date future until his eventual return, which will be the end of time as we know it. And by the way, it doesn't matter whether you're an atheist, agnostic, Muslim, Buddhist, Mormon, Jehovah's Witnesses, or anyone else. Everyone in the past, everyone in the present, and everyone in the future will acknowledge the all-encompassing, inescapable reality of Jesus Christ. There's just no way to get around it. For example, if you ask someone, what is today's date? You would respond by giving them the month, the day of the week, and the year. In doing so, you're actually measuring the time that has elapsed since the birth of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Jesus Christ, by his birth, life, crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, reappearance, and ascension has changed time for all time. Jesus Christ, the co-creator of the world, has clearly put his brand on the world. Go with me to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says it this way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So let's sum up our lesson in podcast number 10, In the Beginning, the Role of Jesus Christ in Creation. Number one, John 1:1-3 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Jesus Christ, and without him was not anything made that was made. Point number two, Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit are eternal, have always existed, and are the co-creators of the heavens and the earth. Point number three, Jesus Christ possesses all of the divine attributes of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Point number four, Jesus Christ is eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present. Point number five, Jesus Christ was, is, and will always be. Point number six, Jesus Christ, like God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, is the uncaused first cause. Point number seven, no one created Jesus Christ. No one created God the Father. No one created God the Holy Spirit. Point number eight, Jesus Christ, along with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, created the world out of nothing. Point number nine, Jesus Christ is the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life. Believing on Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. Point number 10, Jesus Christ was also a prophet, a priest, and a king. Point number 11, Old Testament writers prophesied that the Messiah or Savior of the world would be a man that will also be God. Point number 12, Genesis 3, 14 and 15, Genesis 2 to 3, Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6, and Micah 5:2 are example of Old Testament scriptures that prophesy that the Messiah or Savior of the world would be a man that would also be God. Point number 13, Jesus Christ was fully man and fully God. This theological doctrine is called the hypostatic union. Point number 14, Christophanies are appearances of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Point number 15, in John 8:56, Jesus Christ testified that Abraham saw him and was glad. Point number 16, the entire world history dating system revolves around one person, Jesus Christ, the co-creator of the world. Point number 17, all time in world history before the birth of Jesus Christ is called BC or before Christ. Point number 18, all time in world history after the birth of Jesus Christ is called AD. And point number 19, AD is Latin for Anno Domini Nostro Jesu Christi, which means in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. If after hearing today's podcast, you've decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please repeat the salvation prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you today as a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm asking that you create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life that will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen, amen, amen. If you have accepted Christ, please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. click on the Salvation tab and download the ABCs of Salvation document along with the article, The Next Steps After Salvation. If you have any questions about the content discussed in today's podcast, or if you're seeking an answer to a specific Bible question, you can send me an email. Also, we are available for speaking engagements, conferences, and workshops. My email address is drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's drben at foundationalbtm.org. Please share our podcast on your social network.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcasts, study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's FoundationalBTM.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
The Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry provides weekly Bible-based lessons on essential Christian doctrine. Our lessons are prepared for believers and non-believers to help our readers and listeners know what they believe and why they believe it. I pray that this ministry is making a difference in your life. We are a federally tax-exempt, nonprofit, listener-supported ministry. We are asking that you prayerfully make a donation that will help us sustain and expand our ministry services in the upcoming year. We understand that some of our listeners are unable to financially support our efforts at this time. However, we pray that if this ministry is making a difference in your life, and if you are financially able, please consider making a contribution of any amount to support our ongoing work in the upcoming year. We have several ways that you can give to our ministry. You can give online on our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the donation tab. You can also bless us by writing a check made payable to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, P.O. Box 2156, Tuscaloosa, Alabama 35403. We are looking forward to your generous support that will help us sustain and expand our ministry service in the upcoming year. May God bless you. What is the Trinity, and is the Trinity biblical? We know that God the Father and God the Holy Spirit were present and were participants and co-laborers in the beginning when the heavens and the earth were created. We also know that there are many scriptures in the New Testament that clearly state that Jesus Christ was also present in the beginning and that all things that were created by him. As Christians, we know that God the Father is God. As Christians, we know that the Holy Spirit is God. As Christians, we know that Jesus Christ is God. Do Christians serve one God or three gods? Are Christians monotheistic or polytheistic? Is there a Trinity? If so, where is it mentioned in our Holy Bible? Is the Trinity mentioned in the Old Testament? Is the Trinity mentioned in the New Testament? Is the Trinity biblical? I'm glad you asked. We will answer these questions in our next blog and in our next podcast titled, In the Beginning, The Role of the Trinity in Creation and Throughout our Holy Bible. This is Dr. Ben, signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.